Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, Jim Gavin has pulled out of the presidential campaign, leaving Fianna Fáil with no one now running for the top office. Our reporter Maura Fay has been out on the streets of Swords this morning, asking people there for their reaction.
I didn't think he had a chance anyway, so it's going to spoil the race, but there's no good candidate going forward, so I probably will end up not voting for in the election.
He should never have entered in the first place.
Why is that?
He's not a president of Ireland. You know, I think he was based on the fact that he won a Dublin Six All Ireland, but other than that, no. I think it was a laugh. They'll be honest with you. I don't know who nominated him, but they had to put someone in. You know, so as I say, it's down to two women, so good luck to them. They had more experience than what Jim Gavin would have.
You know, what do you think about Jim Gavin pulling out of the race for the presidency?
Disappointing more for the process, but it is understandable. He had to walk away. It just shows you the vetting. Do they really, really go vetting on these potential candidates? And people need to ask themselves today how they're vetting for presidential candidates.
Raging, absolutely, because I would have given him a vote. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I think they're just kind of digging all the dirt up on them now, aren't they? But the other two ladies, I don't know an awful lot about them, so I'm back on the fence now again.
Well, I think it was a mistake going in the first place, and God, you know, it's just tough. What can he do? That's, you know, what can he do?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Views from Swords in Dublin this morning. Well, I'm joined now by the Minister for Transport, Dara O'Brien. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
So we heard one voter there saying that she's raging about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Are you?
I'm very disappointed. It was actually interesting you did your report from Swords. I was actually in Swords on Saturday with Jim campaigning, and we had a really, really good response. And of course, I'm very disappointed. Firstly, I'm really disappointed for Jim, and it must be a really hard time for him and his family and his kids and his mom. And first and foremost, I'm thinking about him, because it's obviously a very difficult decision that he's made. I think the correct one, but on a personal level, at a human level, I'm really gutted for him, because he's a person that I've a lot of time for, to be honest.
So Jack Chambers this morning, when he was explaining what happened, he said that the party asked Jim Gavin on Friday about this story about the tenant and the rent. And it was only when the tenant came to Fianna Fáil on Saturday with documents supporting their claim that he owed them €3,300 that really the facts became clear. Is that your understanding of what happened?
I wasn't involved in that process. I listened to what Jack said this morning and obviously take him at his word. He's a good colleague, good friend of mine, so I have no reason to question that. That's my understanding of it as well, but that's from what I've heard. It unquestionably clear there'll need to be an urgent review of the process itself and also of how we got here. You know, it's very disappointing for Jim, for our party, for the people who are going to vote for him.
What are the questions you think need to be asked and answered now in relation to the process?
Well, look, I think it's fair that I'm allowed to discuss that with my parliamentary party, which we'll do on Wednesday. I do think, in fairness, that a review is needed in relation to this whole situation, okay, right from nomination right the way through. And I listen with interest to Barry Andrews and indeed Niall Collins and others, and they're people share the same view that there's a grave, great disappointment there. And I'm a firm believer in the electoral process. I've engaged in many elections myself. Unquestionably, the presidential election is one that there is a laser-like focus on candidates throughout it. Jim was a new candidate, new to politics. I think he had a lot to offer, to be honest. He's a serious track record in relation to public service.
But not a politician, you know, not a politician. Yeah,
no, understood. But we have had people who have not come directly, who haven't been steeped in politics running before. And I think the presidency is an office that should be above politics, too. So I'm not in any way questioning Jim's own personal integrity. This is not a good situation. Like, let's be straight about it. It's not where we want it to be. We've really important business of government. We have a budget tomorrow, as you know, We've been in budget negotiations right the way through last week, and they're the important things for our people, how we can keep the economy going, support our people, support those who need it most, the vulnerable there as well, and support working families. So,
and yet you've Jack Chambers, who's one of the finance ministers, standing accused this morning by Barry Andrews of throwing your former presidential candidate under the bus.
I didn't read it like that, but look, I respect Barry's a friend of mine. I was his director of elections in the European elections last year, where we did very well. We doubled our seats. We're the largest party in local government and in the Dáil and indeed the Shannon. But I think it's fair to allow colleagues to sit down and discuss this. People will have their views. All of us have been out campaigning right the way across the country. And, you know, we were enjoying that campaign too. So unquestionably, look, this is not a situation that we saw occurring.
You backed Jim Gavin for.
I did.
I mean, you got it wrong. Would you concede that today? Because you're speaking here to a lot of Fianna Fáil people around the country, mm-hmm. I'm sure, who were asked to support Jim Gavin.
Of course. No, well, we had a process that was very clearly outlined that there was a contest. Billy Kelleher, again, a good colleague and friend, two good candidates, and Jim Gavin. And yes, there was a Democratic vote within the party, and Jim Gavin was selected, and we were all behind him, as was Billy, as was everyone else. We did not foresee this situation. I think it's the right decision that Jim has made. He's held his hands up in relation to this issue. He is committed to rectifying it, the situation with the rent that needs to be returned to that tenant. And he recognises the seriousness of that in so far as he did not want to bring any further controversy to the position of Uachtaráin on the Héireann, which is an incredibly important one. But we will obviously look at this, unquestionably, Claire, and I think we need to do that in the cold light today. We don't need to respond immediately to something that has just happened late last night. I think we need some time for it to sit back, to reflect upon it, and to discuss this as colleagues. We're professional politicians.
And part of that running camp. Part of that reflection, Dara, must centre now around the decision to allow Jim Gavin to go on the week in politics yesterday, when the party had the information from the tenant confirming that person's story here.
Well, Claire, look, I was not party to any of those decisions. Those type of questions, I'm sure, will be questions that will be asked and will form part of a considered review. And we will learn lessons from this. And there's no difficulty with that. And this is not a situation that Fianna Fáil wanted to be in, not a situation I'm sure that Jim Gavin wanted to be in either. And I do really feel for him on a personal level for him and his family. But we have a job to do.
But he should have told you. Surely he should have told the party about this issue.
I think that's obvious, Claire. I think that's obvious.
Or is it the vetting? Is it the vetting process that's at fault, or is it Jim Gavin for not saying it?
As I said to you, I think it's only fair that we're allowed some time to review this all in the round. And I think we need time to be able to do that. So I'm not going to jump to conclusions less than 24 hours after this decision has been made. We will deal with it as colleagues in a professional way. And that's the right way in which this should be done. And we will learn from this too. As we have learned before as a party, indeed, we've a party leader who is extremely successful electorally, who's an excellent Taoiseach, who's brought us back from a situation in 2011 and has led us since 2010 to be back into government as the largest party. We have a job to do for our people.
Well, listen, I'm sure there are people
that guides us
in your party, both in the parliamentary party and beyond, who will question now themselves and whether they have confidence in Micheál Martin. They weren't happy, many of them, about the selection process in the first place.
I don't believe so, Claire. I say that respectfully. I think Micheál enjoys the full support of the parliamentary party. He is a politician of great substance, not just domestically, but on the international stage. I had the honour of being with him and the Taoiseach at the UN recently as well in relation to the General Assembly. And I see how other leaders all the way across Europe and the world actually respond to him. Mm-hmm. We're lucky to have him. But there have been issues.
You're saying that very confidently that he has the full support of the parliamentary party. But you have no candidate in the presidential election a couple of weeks out from polling day. I mean, what are you going to tell Fianna Fáil supporters who were told, please vote for Jim Gavin because we're telling you he's the right man for the job? What do you say to those people today?
Again, that's something that we'll discuss as a parliamentary party, is what the position of Fianna Fáil will be vis-a-vis this presidential election. And that's something we'll do in a very considered way, and we'll do it as colleagues, and we will come to a decision as a collective, as we always do.
Were you part of the group who selected Jim Gavin or who recommended him for this
no.
position? It was all Micheál Martin, was it?
No, I'm not. Sorry, you asked me a question first. Was I part of the group who selected Jim Gavin? I wasn't, and I'm answering you that honestly. Mm. And that's not in any way to cast aspersions on others
who picked him? Who picked him?
The parliamentary party were the ones
No. Way before then. Yeah. Way before then. Who in Fianna Fáil decided Jim Gavin was your man?
The parliamentary party, Claire, voted because he was nominated. I was one of those who nominated him, actually, to stand in front of the parliamentary party.
So you did pick
the
him.
Candidacy.
You picked him.
Well, I voted for him. Of course I did.
No, but who brought him into the fold? Who was the person who said, this is the man who should stand here against Billy Kelleher and be...
It wasn't standing against Billy Kelleher in any way, shape or form. There was a process that was open for people to be nominated to stand in front of the parliamentary party to put their case as the Fianna Fáil candidate for the presidency. And I was one of many others in the parliamentary party who voted for Jim to be that candidate. Yeah. Billy did very well as well.
And what and my question to you is,
open process.
Who brought Jim Gavin into that process?
Sorry, Jim Gavin was nominated by members of the parliamentary party in a very clear, open and transparent process. There's no question about that.
But they didn't go out onto the street and say, we're nominating Jim Gavin.
Of course it was
Micheál Martin who pushed him from the very beginning. He pushed him from the start.
I'm actually...
And it was a secret process and he was the one who made the decision. But yet you're saying today that Micheál Martin is blameless in this whole thing.
Very clear. I'm not arguing with you here. You've asked me a question and I've answered it honestly, okay? When people show an interest, many people actually showed an interest of standing for Fianna Fáil. I understand from reading media reports, you'll be aware of that as well. Jim then sought the support of the parliamentary party, firstly by way
of
nomination.
But I'm putting it to you,
which you
who brought Jim Gavin into the process? The straight answer is Micheál Martin, isn't it?
No, well, Claire, anyone who was interested, many people contacted the party to say they were interested in standing with the party, and Jim was one of them. Okay, so in relation to the genesis of that, I can't answer that because I wasn't involved in that particular. But what I did do is I did nominate him in front of the parliamentary party, as many others did, and I did vote for him. And we're in a situation now that unfortunately he has withdrawn. I think it's the right decision that he's taken. Absolutely. It's a very disappointing situation. It's one we'll learn from and we'll move on from too, because we have a serious job to do on behalf of our people as members of government, as the largest party within government, a government that is in place less than a year that's coming into its first budget.
But according to you this morning, this is no one's fault.
No, Claire, what I've said to you, and you don't need to put words in my mouth in this regard, is that we'll be reviewing this with colleagues, as we should do, not over the airwaves, and we will meet, and there will be learnings from this unquestionably. And I think it's only fair that I, and indeed my colleagues, are allowed to discuss this together as well, as colleagues within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party, and to talk to our members, who are very important.
My final question to you is, are you going to have to make a decision now to endorse one of the remaining candidates as a party, or do you just stay out of it?
No, I think that's something we will discuss. I have no doubt.
What's your view on that?
No, I'm not going to give a view to you now because I want to talk to my colleagues, and that's the way that works, okay? But you can be absolutely sure that that's something that will be discussed unquestionably, and we'll do that, and that will be done swiftly.
All right, Minister Dara O'Brien, thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. RTÉ reporter Barry Lenehan is on the line. Barry Lenehan, of course, who has been watching this campaign very closely from the start. And Barry, what are people saying now behind the scenes about all of this?
Yeah, well, as one minister put it to me this morning, Claire, this will be spoken about for the next half a century, and likening what has happened over the last 24, 48 hours to Brian Lenehan Sr. and the mature recollection of 1990. Now, obviously, we heard Minister Dara O'Brien there speak of a review, the urging caution, urging calm and the need to learn lessons. But really, I was detecting storm clouds gathering within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party amongst backbenchers and some ministers from yesterday afternoon since Mr. Gavin's appearance on The Week in Politics. As one says to me, it's getting serious behind the scenes, whilst another said, Jim, this being Jim O'Callaghan now, has the numbers should he so wish. And this talk all happening, as I say, behind the scenes before that bombshell announcement at 10:30 last night that Jim Gavin was withdrawing from the race, which one TD described as the greatest mess up of all time, although their language perhaps was a bit more coarse than that. A big blame game going on as well within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party, as we heard earlier on. Some putting the blame squarely at the feet of Micheál Martin. One minister saying that it was Micheál Martin who picked Jim Gavin. It was Micheál Martin who asked the deputy leader, Jack Chambers, to curry support for Jim Gavin heading into that vote, and he should take the blame. Whilst the Galway West TD, John Connolly, on Raja na Gaeltacht this morning, perhaps suggesting that Mr. Chambers' double role, obviously preparing the budget tomorrow and as Director of Elections, was perhaps partially to blame as well. But as I say, it's all going on. Where will it go from here? Remember the gap between Billy Kelleher and Jim Gavin. Jim Gavin, of course, the leadership's preferred candidate, as we know, in that contest. Billy Kelleher, otherwise, it would only have taken six people to vote differently for a different result. So if this was to go into any sort of leadership vote, that is the gap. It is quite narrow. Although some urging Cam, even those who disagree or unhappy at what has happened over the past 24 hours, that we are still a long way off from any sort of challenge or anything like that, but a big parliamentary party meeting coming down the tracks on Wednesday.
And Barry, there's the political cost or the political capital that has been invested in all of this, but there's a lot of money here as well, hard cash.
Yes, well, the estimate that has always been put around running a presidential election campaign, that it is in the region of €500,000. And Jim Gavin had a very visible social media campaign, lots of posters in different constituencies, and councillors, grassroots, they are up in arms about that fact this morning. Of course, these are people whom perhaps are going out trying to sell tickets for Fianna Fáil draws to raise money for a campaign such as that. One councillor in Galway messaging me, bad judgment from the 40 lambs forced to tell us what a great candidate Jim Gavin was, this being the 40 people who voted for him. So quite a lot of people have put in political capital into this. There is a major financial burden as well, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out and indeed how the Taoiseach himself responds when we hear from him in due course.
All right, so where do things go, do you believe, from here? We know about the parliamentary party meeting, which is upcoming. I mean, there is the matter of the budget as well, which is a very large distraction from this issue, but it's going to be on the agenda, surely.
Well, it's a difficult budget to come, was how one TD, whom is supportive of Jack Chambers and Micheál Martin, said it to me this morning. So that is there as well. And the other issue was Fianna Fáil TDs, senators, unhappy that there was no parliamentary party meeting last week to discuss the budget ahead of those difficult decisions, which we are told are going down to the wire. So yes, a distraction, but it does feed into the febrile atmosphere within Fianna Fáil over the next few hours and days.
Barry Lenehan, thank you so much. And Dr. Teresa Reedy is with us too, political scientist with University College Cork. Good morning to you, Teresa.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, this is a bit of a logistical mess as well, isn't it? Because people are asking, will Jim Gavin's name remain on the ballot paper? What's the answer to that question this morning?
The answer, as we understand it, is it's quite likely that his name will remain on the ballot paper. That there's a 1993 Act which provides for the withdrawal of candidates, but that period has now ended, and as in fact has ended with 10 days. And so it's quite likely, unless there's some other force majeure clause that we're not aware of, but I don't think there is, that would facilitate him being withdrawn. And there is precedent for this as well. You know, we had a situation last year where a candidate withdrew in the process of the campaign, and she announced she was withdrawing, and she remained on the ballot paper. So it's quite likely that Jim Gavin posters will be disappearing from lampposts near you now as we speak, but actually his name will continue to be on the ballot paper. Now, there is a process of notifying the public that the candidate has withdrawn, but of course it may still be the case that some people will vote for him, although that's kind of likely in very small numbers.
Mm-hmm. So for Fianna Fáil voters then, what happens for them? I mean, the party has yet to decide whether they will endorse one of the other candidates in this election.
Well, this is a very unusual situation now, because you have a party that did have a candidate and no longer has a candidate in the race. And so the first thing that the speculation will kind of circulate around is whether Fianna Fáil will simply withdraw now from the contest, or whether they will seek to endorse, and most likely obviously Heather Humphreys, their partner in government, in the race. But the second question is, should they even choose to do that? Are Fianna Fáil voters going to enthusiastically go to to the polls now on the 24th of October, given what has unfolded in the last 24 hours and potentially how annoyed they are with how this has been managed by their own party. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were starting to discuss the potential that this race would have a low turnout. I mean, I think what's happened in the last 24 hours is likely to push that down. This controversy is not likely to cause more people to go to the polls. Mm-hmm. And that kind of really breaks up the narratives in terms of how the race will play out as well.
Well, Therese, we have people asking us here, you know, if Jim Gavin's name remains on the ballot paper, is he still eligible for election? So Let's imagine for a moment that he wins this election, even though he has withdrawn. Can he still win? Can he still be elected?
I mean, if he has formally withdrawn at this stage, then I don't believe so. But that's a really unlikely scenario. A majority of voters are not going to go out and vote for a candidate who has now withdrawn from the race. But his votes will have to be managed in terms of the final count as well. So, I mean, I don't. That's a very unlikely scenario, mm-hmm. and it's probably not worth talking too much about.
But it is actually realistic
for Fianna Fáil voters. What are Fianna Fáil voters going to do now? Who are they going to vote for? We know that based on the early polls, maybe 2/3 were leaning towards second preference for Heather Humphreys, a third going towards Catherine Connolly. But the much bigger question now is whether they're actually going to go out and vote at all. Now, Fianna Fáil actually haven't contested presidential elections for quite some time. Actually, it was when Mary McAleese was on the ballot in 1997 that they last actually had a candidate in the fray. So they've had a very mixed experience of presidential elections quite recently. So their Fianna Fáil voters are used to voting for other candidates in the race. But the question this time around is whether they actually will turn out to vote.
And I had people asking me last night whether somebody else could be nominated at this late stage to take Jim Gavin's place, but that window is firmly closed, isn't it?
Oh, nominations have closed, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's not possible for anybody else to be added to the ballot at this stage. So it's now a two-horse race, and actually you have to go all the way back to the 1970s for the last time that we had just two candidates in a presidential election. It was quite typical in the early decades of elections, but in more recent years we had become accustomed to having anywhere between kind of 3 and 7 candidates on the ballot. So we're really going back to a kind of a presidential elections of old. And, you know, it's interesting, those kinds of presidential elections tended to be very partisan. They mapped along party lines in a very clear way. But since 1990, presidential elections have been much more focused on the suitability of the candidate. In part, that's part of that scrutiny of the candidates is why we've, of course, ended up in this situation today. But it really opens a question. We're not entirely sure now how the voting preferences will break down. I mean, at the last general election, the kind of coalition of parties that are supporting Catherine Connolly got 35%. Heather Humphreys got just got 21%. But of course, there are a lot of other voters in the system that don't have anywhere, no obvious home now. And what will be the breakdown between those? Where will they land in the final distribution in what is a two-horse race?
Mm-hmm. And of course, all of those questions that were raised around the time when Maria Steen failed to get a nomination, people asking questions around the Democratic deficit and whether the process should be changed. I mean, we hear about processes being changed within Fianna Fáil, but the wider process, Theresa, around selecting candidates and allowing them to go forward for this election, do you believe now that there's enough momentum behind that for it to be changed for the next presidential election in 7 years' time?
I mean, I think that's very unlikely. You have to always remember that this would require a referendum. And actually, voters are very cautious in terms of changes that are proposed to the political system. And so, you know, this was brought up at the Constitutional Convention back in 2012 to 2014. And in fact, a proposal on the presidency did come from the convention. It was to reduce the age of eligibility for candidates from 35 down to 21. And that proposal was resoundingly defeated by the electorate, and the electorate proceeds very cautiously in relation to changes to the political system. They rejected abolition of the Seanad, they rejected parliamentary inquiries. So I think any government would want to proceed with great caution on that front. I also think if you take a kind of a more helicopter view, I mean, those routes of nomination do work. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, candidates have come through the Oireachtas. Catherine Connolly, in fact, herself is actually a multi-party supporter supported by a multi-party coalition. The votes were there for another candidate to come through, but it requires a lot of coalition and alliance building behind the scenes. And several candidates have come through the council route over the years. So it's not that these routes don't work. It is that you have to navigate them very carefully. And the political disposition, which of course in the Dáil and in the councils is the result of electoral choices that have been made by the people in any case, yes, kind of interact and intersect with that.
Yeah, it's difficult to come through the council route though when they're dominated by parties that have selected somebody through the Oireachtas route, as we have seen this time out.
This time around, but in 2011, on the other hand, you know, candidates did come through the council route. Quite a few came through, Dana came through that route. Sean Gallagher came through. Mary Davis. Now, Fianna Fáil was taking a slightly more open view at that stage. So, you know, I think it's also important to say, you know, politics is dynamic. Parties themselves will also learn from this process, and they may approach the nomination route in a different way the next time around. Yes. But I think we probably have to be I don't think we should assume it will change for the next election. Okay. I think that's probably quite unlikely.
All right, Teresa, thank you very much. That's Dr. Teresa Reedy there. Now, coming up later on, we'll be talking about how to address skin pigmentation with consultant dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman. And Rosemary will, of course, take your questions, so do get them in now to 51551 or WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32. Next, we'll hear about the latest attempts to reach a ceasefire in Gaza.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.